Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everybody? Happy, happy, happy Friday Eve to you. Hope everybody is having a great day. Are you coming down off that candy high from Halloween yesterday? Halloween is finally over. Now we can start seeing all the decorations for Christmas. 2.5 months early because it's all about the spending, not about the holiday. The way it used to be when they started putting up Christmas decorations the day after Thanksgiving or the day before or something like that. Anyway, Derrick Rose scored 50. Suns can't buy a win, and the Lakers did. Steph Curry is on fire. And Maryland finally came to their frickin' senses. Finally came to their frickin' senses and fired their head coach. All that and more we're going to get into on the Cave Show today. Thank you and welcome. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. We are brought to you by the one, the only, the Girls Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights. That's 4991 South Alma School. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you, and you will get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. You can also become a club member, and you get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Always on, always, always on, and Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco now serves beer and wine. Get in there and check them out. Again, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Let them know PLR sent you. You get 10% off of any purchase. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. I will also give you the team that can beat Alabama. And I wonder if you want in on this with me because I'm laying down all my money on this team to at least cover the spread. With all that said, you heard the lineup. You heard the guest list. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. If you like those thoughts, want to chime in on them, or have something totally different, please give a call. I do have a caller waiting on hold. Appreciate your patience. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom do I have the privilege of speaking with on the Cadillac on the line?
Hello, Paul. This is Lou again.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't say this thing for the NFL trade deadline because Jets really didn't get anybody.
No, and I don't think that was the Jets' plan to get anybody. I think it was more like if the Jets were going to get rid of anybody. They have a young team. They know they're going nowhere, and they're going nowhere really fast this year. So I don't think that was a plan for them to try to get better. Playoffs are out the window for them this year. So they're trying to do it through the draft and through free agents at the end of the year. So this really wasn't their plan to get better during the trading deadline.
I see. Now, you were saying that there's a team that can beat Alabama. Who do you think it's going to be?
Oh, it's easy. I know the team, and I don't think too many people would disagree with me on this. The team is Alabama. So what you do is you hold a draft and you have Tua on one side and you put their other quarterback on the other side who won a national title and went to start a game of another one. And then you have them pick players like in a schoolyard. And so basically you have Alabama against Alabama. And in that matchup, I think Alabama can win.
Yeah, I mean, this is gonna be a, you know, a tough game on Saturday, though.
You know what? A lot of people are saying that, and a lot of people are gearing up for it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it's going to be a tough game at all. Early, I believe LSU is going to hang with them. I believe LSU is going to try to do some things that's going to make it tough on Alabama, and they can. But once they go through, once they go through that lineup once or twice, in terms of possessions, I think Alabama's going to figure it out. They're going to realize LSU can't move the ball like them because Alabama can't. I mean, LSU can't. And then I think it becomes an Alabama butt whooping. I don't mean like one of those 60-10s, but I think it's a comfortable like 31-17 game. There's kids, and I understand anything can happen. I understand that, you know, they get angry in the class. I understand all these things with 19, 18-year-olds. But if Saban is your coach, this team is going to be prepared. And they didn't play last week. You're the Jets you were talking about. They're in the same division as the New England Patriots. What happens when you give the New England Patriots head coach, when you check, 2 weeks to prepare for you? Is that a good thing for you or a bad thing for you? So
no, it's not.
This schedule is set up for Alabama. They got the bye week right before their toughest game, and then right before they play their rival, they play like Dandelion West University. So they're spaced out where they could actually do damage. I don't see them losing to LSU.
I think you're – yeah, you might be right about that. Yeah, it's been
that
also –
bye week.
But on a more serious note, though, it's been a rough 48 hours for a certain coach in Maryland. I mean, first they were to figure what to do, then he was going to be reinstated, and then last night we find out that he was fired after all.
And you know what, Lou? The only thing I'm going to say about DJ Durkin from what you said was, I don't know if it's been rough for him. I think it's been rough for everybody else. And I'm not trying to take, you know, this guy is still obviously a human, and I'm not trying to take the human aspect out of it. But I will say this. There's a kid that died on your watch, and I've yet to see you show any real remorse for that. In terms of really say something. Now, I know you're trying to protect yourself from being sued or financial, and I understand that. But when you walk back in the meeting and your players are getting up and walking out because you've been reinstated, nothing more needs to be said. And the Board of Regents in Maryland, and excuse me for saying this, pardon my French for saying this, the Regents in Maryland really have their head in their ass. Because they're
right.
Honestly coming across like being more concerned about the payout to this guy for firing him without cause than what kids would think. You really thought, if you're a regent, if you're the Board of Regents, you really thought a guy who allowed a kid to die on the field without really even calling 911, without doing anything that any person with any type of compassion would do, can then get up, go into another parent's house, and say, that really wasn't my fault. Trust me with your kid.
No, you don't do that. But the first mistake was reinstating him in the first place and then firing him 24 hours later. I mean, maybe you should have thought about that.
Well, the whole thing was they kind of put the president in a no-win situation. Basically, you fire this guy, we fire you. So I'm glad to see the president finally, you know, reach down there and understand that this guy had to go. You know, it has to go. And there was going to be, according to their student union president, they were going to protest and uprise against this guy coming back to coach this team again. There's no way he should have ever set foot back on that campus. And Maryland finally finally did the right thing 24 hours later, and it makes them look like idiots because they just buckled under the pressure, which shouldn't have been necessary considering this guy let a kid, him, his strength coach or his first aid coach or whoever, they let this kid die on the sideline. And as his parents said, as his dad said, the young man who died, his dad said, I feel like I've been kicked in the gut when he came back because you brought this guy back. And I've never been a fan of people losing their job, but this guy's going to walk away with millions of dollars because he's going to be fired without cause. So he's walking away with millions of bucks. But there is no way on God's earth that this guy should ever coach kids again. He has to, I honestly believe, go coach, maybe if that's what he really wants to do, maybe go coach somewhere where they don't know you and you're a little assistant helping to coach someone else. Because I don't trust a guy coaching kids again. It's like the guy that coached Art Briles. Art Briles couldn't even get a job coaching in Europe because they figured out what he allowed to go on to all those young women and the abuse that he allowed to go on under his watch in Baylor. He couldn't get a job coaching in Canada because of the exact same thing. So if you can't get a job coaching because people know that you're a bad person, why would you get a job coaching kids when you did nothing to help one that was dying right in front of your eyes? It's sad.
I'll say.
So he's out. And like I said, usually I'm not happy when a person loses their job, but I am glad he will not be coaching young men again.
Right. I mean, but the whole thing, you know, didn't know what to do, then you decided to rehire him, like, you know. That didn't
it was
make
a mess.
A
they screwed
sense.
Up. No, they screwed okay. it up. They should have fired him. They should have fired him in the beginning. And here's the thing. If there wasn't going to be an uprising, if the kid who dies, if his parents had said nothing, if there wasn't going to be an uprising, if students weren't going to protest, if they didn't take such a national black eye about this whole thing, they wouldn't have fired him.
No.
They wouldn't have. But they did because all that happened. And it's good that all that happened. And I'm glad all that happened because people are finally starting to say, look, no, you just can't do people like this. That's not allowed. So. That's the way it goes. I mean, the NCAA already took one black eye earlier this year from the Urban Meyer deal when they basically, I mean, Urban Meyer was not the one. So let me go ahead and say this. So the Urban Meyer fans don't have a fit. Urban Meyer was not the one abusing women. We know that. That was his assistant. But Urban Meyer held on to that assistant even though he knew exactly what was going on. That's bad. Now, when he goes into a parent's house because he wins so much, parents may look at him kind of cross-eyed, but they know that he wasn't the one that was actually doing it. So we now have those situations where Urban Meyer's saying, oh, I may end up coaching one more year, yada, yada, yada. There's always drama when it comes to Urban Meyer. Always. That's who Urban Meyer is. There's always something around him. There's always something swirling around his program, and he gets away with it most of the time because his team wins and he puts you in the pros. So, but otherwise, he's not exactly some choir boy. Here's my question for you.
All right.
Know you're a football fan. Know you love football.
Yes.
Know you love watching football. That's no secret. The Raiders play the Niners tonight. Gauge your interest to watch the 1-whatever Raiders against the 1-whatever Niners while John Gruden is saying people are lining up calling him saying they want to play for the Raiders.
Wait, are you asking who I think is going to win?
No, I'm asking you, are you going to even waste your time watching this game?
With those two teams, probably not.
Oh, boy, who are you telling? Doing what we do, that's one of those games where you have to watch it just because
you
have to talk about it.
Well, do they really know they're going to be that bad, you know, when they got to this point in the season? I mean, remember, the schedule's planned out way in advance. Let's see, do we show this dumb people of a game that night, even though we had on the schedule?
I'm not blaming the NFL for this game. Thursday night games Thursday night games are stuck. You can do nothing with those. And the NFL, in their fairness, they do a good job of flexing games over the weekend to make sure that, you know, they try to get the best. But
Thursday, you don't have a choice.
Thursday, you don't have a choice. But when the Bucks are playing the Celtics, and the Pelicans are playing the Trailblazers, I'm going to watch with one eye on that game so I can know what I'm saying. But did we know that John Gruden was going to get in there and just implode a team? No. We did, deep down. Did we know Garoppolo was going to injure his ACL? No. So two teams that should have technically been better, but this is what Gruden does. I don't understand why everyone is surprised. He took over a team in Tampa that was already in place, and within 3 years, he chased everybody out. The team was losing, and then he was gone. So I don't know why everyone is all surprised that John Gruden is struggling now. I don't get it. Maybe someone can explain to me why everyone looks all surprised that John Gruden is struggling job. You know, this is nothing new.
I'm as baffled by it as you are.
Yeah, because everyone's like, John Gruden was such a great coach. He won the Super Bowl. Look, now I'm not saying he won the Super Bowl. I hate that, and even though I've said it, those weren't his players. But he still coached them to a title. Because if we give Steve Kerr the title or the credit and not Mark Jackson, then we have to give Gruden the credit and not Tony Dungy. So I completely understand that. But what you do going forward says a lot about you. What Steve Kerr has done with this team is absolutely magnificent. And Golden State, they've only gotten better. Obviously, they got the most talent in the league, but they've only gotten consistently better. What he did in Tampa was he got rid of everyone because, you know what, John Gruden's ego can't handle someone else saying that you didn't do it, someone else did. So he wanted to mold a team based on what he thought it should be, where he would get the credit for it. Well, guess what, buddy? You got the credit. You got down in Tampa. You chased off Booger McFarlane. You chased off Warren Sapp. You chased off Keyshawn Johnson. You chased off Ward. You chased off everybody. So that's who he is. And now he gets to Oakland. He chases out Beck. He chases out Cooper. He chases, you know, anybody he can chase off. Where he can go in, and now he can say, I picked this guy. I picked that guy. I did this. I. Me. I think it's quite funny that when players stand up, Lou, and they scream, I, me, we say, whoa, look how selfish. Football is the ultimate team sport. Look at that Le'Veon Bell. Only worried about himself. He's letting his teammates down. It's the ultimate team sport. But we have a coach who really could have just tweaked certain things with a young team, paid a couple guys, but he wouldn't have the credit for it. So, I don't know. Double standard.
Yes. Yeah,
so,
that's a double standard, right?
On switching gears, another one. I am a 100% diehard Chicago Bulls fan. Always have been, always will.
Yes.
I grew up in Chicago. It's in my DNA. Oh, man, that season tickets to Bulls. I am a Bulls fan. And even though he is no longer, after everything physically he's been through, in the last 6 to 7 years, and no one realizes, but it's really been that long. To see him score 50 last night and lead Minnesota to a win was probably one of the most rewarding things that I've seen in a while, and it really made me smile last night. So he looked like a, when people say, "Well, you look like Derrick Rose again." Well, sort of.
You were breaking up a bit. Yeah. So refresh what you meant about which player you were breaking up a bit.
Derrick Rose.
Okay.
Derrick Rose, and some people say, "Well, he looked like the old Derrick Rose." I don't know if he looked like the old Derrick Rose, because the old Derrick Rose, when he exploded to the hoop, always dunked the ball, and this one was laying the ball up in the moves. But he looked like that. When I say he looked like the old Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I mean confidence-wise, he looked like the old Derrick Rose. And it was good to see. And it may only be for one night, but it was so good to see that he is can get to that level once again. And I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, why couldn't he do it for the Knicks, though, huh?
You know? But I don't think he was ready. I don't think mentally he was there yet. I think mentally he's finally come. You know what? Sometimes it takes doing something that's familiar to you with a familiar person for you to feel right again. And being back with Thibodeau, even though to this day I still say, Thibodeau, why did you have him in a blowout game to even tear his ACL? But being back with Tibbs and surrounded by the guys that he knew in Chicago, like a Taj Gibson or a Jimmy Butler, I think he feels mentally comfortable again. And when you're mentally comfortable, you can do a lot of things.
Yeah. There's two Roses, I think, in the NBA, isn't there?
There's Derrick Rose and not that I can I don't know another Rose.
There's another one, I think, because I think one of them is married to the First Take girl on ESPN.
Jalen Rose. He's not
Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose. Yeah, no, he's out. He's been out in the NBA for a while.
They're not related, though, are they? So just
one
a coincidence.
One's from Chicago, one's from Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe Jalen is married to Molly Queen. Whatever you say her name.
Yep, he is. Yeah, Molly Carey.
Nice young lady.
Yep. Yep, yeah. They got married a few months ago.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Of course, you still gotta work with a nutcase like you know who.
Everyone knows
say
how much
name.
You love Stephen A.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you? We all know how much you love Stephen A.
Yes. Not.
But the Suns, my Suns down here, they struggled again. They lost again.
Yeah.
One victory on the season. Devin Booker is still out. And they just are struggling. Friday night, it gets no easier. Toronto comes to town. And it's early in the season, but they need a win. They need a confidence thing, confidence builder. And they need to figure out a way not to let the games get away completely. And unfortunately,
so what do you do?
That's what they're doing now. I don't know. I'm back in that same position. Either you go young or you play vet. And I say take the losses now. I said this team would win 31 games this year and be vastly improved. The only upside, Lou, I will say is this. When you play the tough schedule at the beginning, it means you get a reprieve on the backside. So maybe those wins are coming, and maybe it's good that they're taking these lumps against these good teams now, because that could only possibly mean that on the opposite side they'll be better for it. But it's hard to sit around and take the lumps. It's almost like with ASU. I said this is a team that's going to win 6 or 7 games. But then every week that they lose a game, you're like, crap, they lost again. Well, if you say they're going to lose 5 or 6 games, they actually have to lose the 5 or 6 games to fit what you said they were going to do. But it's hard sitting there watching. So I basically said, here's a team that's going to lose 51 games. But while they're losing the 51 games, you sit there and say, oh my God, you guys need to start winning. But you already know they're going to lose 51 games. So I'm trying to keep all that into perspective. because here's a team that's 6 games under .500. If they just played .500 ball from here on out, did nothing more than that, they would end up 38-44. Guess what that is? That's 7 games better than I thought they would be anyway. So yeah. I just have to keep all that in perspective.
Right, of course.
So that's what's going on, my man.
Yeah, right. And we'll be ready. And we'll be ready for the picks tomorrow, unless if I do my local show. And of course, Monday you're starting back at 3 o'clock, correct?
Is this the weekend time jumps?
It is. I thought it was next week, but it's this weekend.
I thought it was next week too. So that means on Sunday morning. You know what? That's even better. That means on Sunday morning, games don't start until 11 o'clock my time.
No, it's still early, but.
Yeah, well, it's better than 10, though.
Yeah.
I'll definitely take that. So, yes, our time doesn't change, so it will
right.
be still, right, it'll still be 1 o'clock here. But it'll be 4 o'clock.
You,
yes.
Some parts of Indiana, Hawaii, and I think someone else that I think someone else didn't change it.
Right.
And
right.
Florida
yep.
has two
we
time
don't.
Zones. Like,
they do. So does Kentucky and Tennessee.
Oh, they do too.
They do. They do.
It makes it even more confusing.
And then just so everybody knows. If you're on the West Coast or in the Arizona area, the games of the week on free, as I like to say, TV, Chargers and Seahawks, and you also get the Rams Saints and the Falcons Redskins, and that Rams Saints game should be very, very entertaining.
What about the Sunday night game? That should be fun, too.
The Packers and the Patriots, I was about to say that.
Of course.
That should be very good as well. So,
yeah.
It's that time. It's go time.
Right. All right, Paul. So if nothing else comes up, I'll talk to you at the same time tomorrow.
Sounds good, my friend. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks.
Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. Lakers won a game. They blew the Dallas Mavericks out by 1 point. I know that sounded real cynical, real, real cynical. I'm not trying to be cynical, folks. I'm not. But, guys, this team is going to be fighting for a 7-8 seed. Why? Everyone looks at me like I'm crazy when I say that. 7 or 8 seed. Oh, well, we'll find out. One day people will say, you know what, that doggone Richardson, he may just know a thing or two. I don't know. All calls me via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Good friend, Lou, thanks for giving a call in today. Make sure you are following us on Instagram, Facebook, fan page, and Twitter at the Sports K, where K was always with the K. And you also can get us on our website at thesportscave.com, where K was always with the K. You can get me directly on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone have a great Thursday Eve. Enjoy the football game tonight, I think. This is the K Show. This is PLR. Take care.